It's that late night wet wipe stuff, man.
Wet wipe.
Dads.
Late night.
Comedians.
Wet wipe.
You get me?
Three dads, and they're all quite funny. Only started this podcast to make some money. Spotify deals and comedy tours on the agenda. Let me introduce all members.
KJ,
yeah, he put this thing together.
That might be the reason that it falls apart.
He's from the hip, but he talks from the heart. Ride or die for the team, you know it's Kazim. Darren Griffiths, getting told off by the lectures. Been a dad longer than the other two. An integral member of the crew. Where he's from, they like to say, oi, oi. Darren Griffiths, aka the Essex boy. The doctor, always thinking about a sponsor. Keeps the pod on track, loves prayer, that's a fact. Got a BBL just for the brothers that are black. It's Mike,
and this is Late Nights and Wet Wipes.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of them Late Nights and them Wet Wipes. You know who this is. You know who I be. I am one of your co-hosts. I am Michael Akadiri. And to the left, who am I joined by?
I'll shoot for your bill payer's permission. Who's that? That's me. It's Darren Bush. Thank you, Darren G.
How we doing? And we're joined by a very, very special guest today. I'm gonna introduce this guest because I'd be doing my research. Not only is she a comedian, not only is she an actress, not only is she a podcaster, she is also a mother and also has the title of being the first mother on this podcast.
Oi.
It is Kelly Ford, people.
Thank you.
First mum on the pod.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
Thank you for joining us. How are you doing?
Yeah, really good. Happy to be here. It's quite late, though, for a mum, right?
It's very late. It's in the name. Late Nights and Wet Wipes, man. So we stick it. We're on brand right now.
Yeah, it's so lovely to be here. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us. And I should say off the top, you're used to a guy by now talking about being 4.5.
Yeah, Thomas Skelly.
All this non-science that he'll be spouting, but he had to attend to some business. He's being a father right now. He's parenting. To be a parent.
That's
so
good of him.
So that's good of him. So respect to Kazim. So let's get straight into a listener's question. Thank you for sending this in. And yeah, Kelly, it'll be good to get your thoughts on this. And you're a mother yourself, so maybe you can relate to this more.
Okay.
So a mother's written in because her daughter essentially is a bit embarrassed by the mother.
Ooh.
So essentially they were at school. And she went to pick up her child outside the school and she could see these girls that, you know, the daughter kind of hangs around with. And then the daughter breaks free, sort of comes into the car and then sits by the mum. The mum's like, oh, okay, how you doing? She's not really talking to her, not really communicating. Then these said girls come close to the car. Then the daughter's starting to slide down and hide and conceal her identity. Then these girls sort of go off. She's like, drive, mum, drive, drive, drive. So she starts driving. And she's like, what's all that about? Because you don't normally talk to me like that. And then she's like, oh, I was embarrassed by how you look.
Ooh.
And the mum's like, well, this can only be one thing. I think she's talking about my weight. And then she's like, you know, I'm not terribly out of shape, but, you know, I could lose a few pounds. And then she's like, the daughter's like, I didn't want these girls to think I'm part of a fat family.
Wow.
And
God, this is a big one.
It's a big one.
Is this a comedy podcast?
Yeah. It was meant to be, but sometimes we get into deep emotive issues. So, yes. So, the mom was trying to figure out, like, what does she do, man? She's got a daughter who is clearly hanging around with people that's making her feel conscious about her weight. She had her daughter tell her that she's fat. So,
yeah.
She's not happy about that. And her daughter's quite, she's like, mom's like, look, my daughter's quite active. She's not fat. She may be a bit wide in places, but she's not fat. She's healthy and active. So
what a challenge.
Yeah.
What do you do? You're a mother.
What a great question.
Yeah, I don't know. Hopefully you've not been in that situation, but you know, what
advice? I hope you shouldn't be having any children like that old to be.
I've got a 7-year-old and yep. She's definitely starting to become aware of her weight and her mm-hmm. physicality. So this is a really interesting question.
Mm-hmm.
I have modelled quite a lot in my life and I've done body positivity campaigns where
yes.
I've done nude. I've done nudes from behind for like Good Housekeeping magazine, the stuff you do for money.
And, hey, it's got to be done, man. If you're Derrier, it can make you some money.
And so I've done quite a lot of that stuff. And I've actually always kind of spoken quite wildly that it's really important that we all represent ourselves, all shapes and sizes. However, over the last 18 months, I was telling Michael before the show, I've just lost 16 kilos, 2.5 stone. And I'm on a month raising a toddler, it's quite hard, you
absolutely
know, to make these changes. But amongst that is kind of, I was like, I really want to represent health and wellness to my girls.
Yeah.
So that they see their mummy in a great light. I'll always have a big bum and big hips. That will be always the fact. But I think it's that thing of like, the conversations always have to be had.
Yeah.
Of like, why are you feeling that way?
Yeah.
What is normal? And let's all be comfortable in our own skin. How do you create that kind of, making sure that children understand the importance of what is inside that matters.
Yeah.
A girl's a bitchy though. It's hard.
Yeah.
So I think I've been on a real journey with this, and my daughter's definitely seen mummy kind of move from maybe a slightly unhappier and you know heavier person into a, but still I was at that time representing fat people in body positive way, but inside I wasn't feeling positive.
So that's so interesting. So that's very
now
interesting.
I'm on this other side where I'm like channeling fitness and wellness, but I'm talking to her all the time. The other day she put a big coat on and went, I don't want to wear it, I look fat. And I was like, well, we need to need to sit down.
Yeah, there's a lot excuse the pun, there's a lot of weight in the term fat.
Yeah,
like it's
so you
loaded.
Have to go back and go, right, so why are you feeling that way? You know, you have to wear a jumper or a coat because it's 0 degrees outside.
Yeah,
like you're beautiful.
Yeah,
everything about you is beautiful. You've got, you know, you're a fantastic human, you're kind, you've got empathy. These are all the traits that make a great human. Yeah. It's a worry, though, at 7 years old that she's using that language. So I need to go and read some books, I think.
Do you think that stuff she's bringing home from school with her sort of her peers and her age group? I'm now talking about your
daughter. Maybe. And actually, yeah, it's a big one, though, isn't it? Because girls, if they're having that language at age 7, what is that 13-year-old going to be?
Yeah.
You know, especially with the influence of social media and eating disorders on the rise and, you know, the new understanding of what is beautiful, it's kind of, it is a concern.
It's tough, yeah, because like, me and my wife use quite brutal language to each other when it comes to staying in shape and stuff, you know. But, you know, it's obviously that's, we're adults, we can process that. So, you know, your wife or your husband is saying, oh, you need another pack of crisps.
Need?
We're talking to each other, going, oh yeah, I did say that, I should watch what I'm eating.
So are you just holding each other accountable?
Exactly.
Okay.
But when my daughter's in earshot, we avoid using words like fat and stuff because it's that thing of, it's my daughter's never shown me, she's only 2, so she hasn't shown me anything like that.
Yeah.
Is having that in your head and absolutely what that means, and you just don't know when people, how people see themselves, right? Like kind of body dysmorphia. You've seen that. I'm seeing people positively and negatively. I'm seeing people in fine shape, literally totally fine, and they're just like, no, I've put on 1% body fat.
Men and women, you know, men and women, yeah.
And then you see it the other way where there's like, no, I'm beautiful. It's like, no, you could lose some. Yeah, it's like you're out of breath and you're eating ice cream and it's 6 in the morning. Like, just what are you doing?
The eye of the beholder, Darren.
Yeah, it's like you're making poor health choices here. So it's that balance. And yeah, I guess with your kids,
yeah,
like you said, I think it's more to do with health. Health is one,
yeah,
and both physical and mental. Your body will almost be your body in some respects, but it's like, If you're eating well and you think of yourself well, then it kind of, the body takes care of itself in a way. So it's like with the question from the mum, it sounds mean. Like obviously, if the daughter said that she thinks she's fat, the main concern is that the daughter thinks she's fat.
But yeah.
As a mum, I don't know, maybe she could take care of herself. Does she actually think she's... If the mum thinks she's fine, then
yeah,
it's more difficult. But she said herself in the question, she could stand to lose.
Yeah, yeah, there was some acknowledgement there that, you know, maybe she let herself go. But I always find it interesting. Obviously, this is where, Kelly, you could probably help out. Like, I think sometimes mothers can get the whole, the stick. Obviously, you bear the brunt of carrying the child.
Yeah.
And then obviously the changes that has on one's body. And then it's almost like you put on a bit of weight. It's like, well, I was carrying a child for 9 months. Like, how do you expect me to just snap back like that? And then I think sometimes we see celebrities, mothers who've snapped back, but they've got everything around to help them. They've got child minders, they've got personal trainers, they don't have to worry about going out to work and whatnot. I don't have to put it on you, but did you find any pressures after your children to snap back or...
Well, I was only ever going to snap back into my size 16 jeans. I think there was a bit of pressure, but, you know, we were in a very interesting time at that time. I gave birth in the height of lockdown. I was kind of super content. No one was coming to my house. It was just like boobs out for 8 weeks.
No bra inside.
Literally, like, how amazing that was for feeding. Just like no one could knock on my door asking for tea. It literally was like, so I don't know if I went into a bit of a cavewoman thing where I was just eating what the hell I wanted, nourishing my baby. And then I think I woke up and I was like, whoa, you're 14 and a half stone. And every photo you see of yourself, you're not comfortable with. And I think I had this, a bit of an epiphany where I was like, if you're not happy with how you look, sort it out.
Yeah.
So it was like a catalyst. And last October, it was just like there was an epiphany moment. Somalia, there was a massive famine. And I was just getting like so fed up where we're like reading the news and then we just like carry on with our daily lives. And I was like, whoa, this is ridiculous. The famine out there was just so dramatic. I was like, right, I'm just going to run for 30 days, 5K a day. Either 15K cycle, 5K walk or a 5K run. And that started the journey.
Yeah.
And I just did it for 30 days, raised 1800 for Oxfam. And I was like, right, this is it. I'm going to be really fit, healthy. I'm going to run a 5K under 30 minutes and be an example to my girls. I think with relation to that question, I think your behaviours and language around children is so important. No. So it is important to walk around the house naked and be honest and open about nudity and your body, I think, and have no shame around your body and not have scales like obviously around, or, you know, talking about yourself and each other in a beautiful way. Language.
Yeah.
Language can really, if you're drip feeding little words or little critiques about yourself, they're so absorbent, kids, right? Yeah, they're absolutely taking everything on. You're curating their world. So, yeah. Did I snap back? No, I did not. I snapped out. I literally snapped. I think I snapped, actually. Yeah, there was a moment of like, what the fuck?
Yeah. But that's the reality. And I think that's probably more of an honest assessment that most mothers probably go through than what we're led to believe by the media that gets put out.
I think it's most funny as well is that, obviously, there's always a lot of focus on a woman's body. Even though it's been through the physical rigor of carrying a child and giving birth. And it's funny because as men, everyone in a relationship puts on weight.
Absolutely.
And as men, we just slide into fat.
Dad bod.
And it's just like, and then they'll be on social media, dad bods are hot. And us guys going,
Yeah.
I think like men, we have like a positive disposition and like especially like dysmorphia.
Absolutely.
With parenting as well, like you got like mum guilt and stuff. Whereas men, we'll do like one basic thing. We'll wash up a bottle and be like, nailed it.
Yeah.
No, I think I'm dead.
Father of the year.
Yeah. Put a pizza in the oven, yeah.
Yeah, just like change this nappy, by the way.
Yeah.
Unprompted.
Hey!
Whoa, hey!
Where's my bag?
I can smell his shit, and so I changed his nappy. I did that. I'm a so.
But that was.
I'm gonna take you.
But that just shows how low the bar is for men when it comes to parenting. Like society has just put the bar so low that even if you're like just marginally responsible,
parents, I think it's like always so many others.
Oh, yeah, yeah. When it comes to relationships, dating, you know, if you find a man who doesn't misbehave, he's a good man. And that's the bar for men, because what a great guy.
But I think dads are stepping up more than they ever have. And I think about, like, my husband, you know, being a comedian, I'm like getting those children ready to the point where they're just about to go to sleep. And I'm like, you know, rugby passing them as I'm like going out the door to perform 5 minutes in Hatfield or whatever, you know.
That's dedication to the craft, Kelly.
But, you know, like, there's quite a lot of parenting that has to happen to that point, but he will always kind of put them to bed if I'm gigging. And that, you know, like, I think men are more than ever. There has to be the duality, doesn't there? I mean, it has to be in modern, in terms of money and...
Yeah, my mum, like, looks at me in parents. She always comments and compliments. Like, you're really hands-on, aren't you? And I was like, no, in my mind, but not particularly. I haven't done it with the two since we met my son, but I always do visit my mum, just with me and my daughter. That's it. Give my wife the day off, do whatever she wants.
Absolutely.
She's like, oh, it's really good that she's, you know, you're just with your daughter. I was like,
and then you drop her off.
I was just like, who else is she gonna be with? If she's not with my mum, then she's gonna be with her dad. And she's, I was like, no, it's just, it's really good. It's really, but then she said, no, just generationally. That,
Is it from her time when she was parenting herself? Was that the expectation?
Her parents and
the dads weren't around.
Like, they just go to work and that's it, really. That's
more financial provision. Rather than
that kind of alone time with the kids and having that kind of direct bond with the child and doing something with the child and knowing what's going on with your kid.
Yeah.
And stuff. Yeah, I think that's stepping up a generational shift with men that you've seen viral videos of like men with their family and they go, okay, what's your daughter's birthday? And the husband's like looking at the wife. It's like, not a chance. You don't know the kid's birthday.
Yeah, that's poor. That's poor. You can't legislate.
But it wasn't like just the one guy. It was like loads of guys. All these different things. Like, what's their teacher's name? And the guy's like, oh, I don't know.
But that's reality for some. I guess if you're literally just... But that just goes back to traditional, isn't it? Like, you know, dad at work, mum sort of keeping house, so to speak. Dad making sure the house is paid or keeping the house financially, so to speak.
I've just had a flashback of taking my kid, 7-year-old, home with her mate. And this is in relation to the question. And I was sort of doing a little like cha-cha-cha down the street, leading them home. And I said, shaking my booty. And he went, you do have a big bum though, Kelly, don't you? And he's like a 7-year-old boy. But actually it was like a real moment of like... And then I was like, oh, yeah, I guess I do, actually. We all have different shaped bottoms. Yeah. But it was like the brutality of kids where they're like...
So you were just dancing?
Yeah, I've just like, handed out the snacks, like, we're going to go back to my house. And then I was like, I must have just said, oh, shaking my booty. Anyway, we do have a big booty or something like that. They have a big bum.
And kids don't hold back, man. No filter.
There was no filter. It was like... I had to take a moment of like going.
Did you take it as? It's going to sound wrong. I'm obviously not. You don't want to take a compliment from a 7-year-old about your bottom, but did you take it? Do you think he was just being factual, was trying to insult you, or trying to compliment you?
I think he's just say what you see.
Yeah. So he's just saying what you see.
Yeah, I don't think there was any malice, and I think actually he's probably accurate. But anyway, I think kids can be, you know, brutal but also truthful. The truth, there's no
I think that's the issue, isn't it, is that I think that's why those words probably hurt, because you feel an element of truth to it, right? If someone was to call you, I said this, the person called into question, if their daughter said, oh, you're fat, I thought, but I'm not. What are you talking about? It's like, I've got 8-pack. I go to, it's like, okay, well, that's a weird thing to say to me. Whereas if you actually, someone says that to you, it kind of stinks. I feel a little bit insecure about it. My solution to it would be, maybe do something with your daughter and work on, you know, health and stuff, whether it's changing eating habits or actually doing an activity, because that'll actually give you time together
and stuff like yeah. that.
It doesn't have to be something extreme like, you know, mountain biking or anything like that. Maybe just go for a walk with each other.
Going, yeah. Keep that chat going, because if she's sliding down the chair,
yeah,
that is shame.
Yeah, yeah.
And actually, and then you have it. To rebuild what's going on inside that child's mind. Like, never feel embarrassed of, yeah. of what we have and who we are, and
absolutely,
and who you are.
But I like to think, but that's the thing with our kids, but more when they're teenagers. Obviously, this one's pre-teens, but they value what their friends think more than anything. Oh, yeah. Like what their friends think is sort of gospel. Yeah, you know. Yeah. Yeah, shut up. That's not what Janine at school thinks. And it's just like, if Janine at school is the person you look up to, then you're going to, whatever she thinks is right, is what you're going to abide by. And that's where it's challenging for this kid. So this kid's probably thinking, my friends think, I don't want them to think we're fat because they hate fat. Maybe the friend spent all day at lunchtime berating a fat teacher. I don't know. I'm now just sort of making stuff up. And then she now thinking, fuck, she sat next to her mum in the car. You look like the teacher. I don't know, but it just, they can construct these sort of mad scenarios in their brain.
I remember talking to this Uber driver. He was like, I was like, he had a couple of teenage girls. I said, what is your secret to parenting? Yeah. What are you? In the boot. He just aborted.
I didn't think, where's she going with this? Like, teenage.
And,
no Uber pool.
The tape over their mouth, it's fine. But I was like, what's the secret to raising teenagers in London?
Yeah.
And he was like, one, make your home a place they always want to hang out. So like, always fill the fridge full of all the things that they love eating. Make it a place where their friends want to hang out. And then obviously part of that is also good because you kind of can see who the bad ones are and help with a bit of curation. And then his second thing, he said, make sure they always have a little bit of cash. So they always can buy their own chips. So no one's buying them chips and then asking for favors.
I like that. They're not beggy.
Yeah. Also, like, I've bought your chips for 6 days now. Show me your knickers.
No, 100%. Because that's how grooming sort of happens, isn't it? Like, you owe me favor. You know, I did something for you. Then the guilt trip and all that type of stuff. So that's the thing. If you got enough love from your dad, then you don't have to look elsewhere for love or attention or anything like that. Or it comes from the home. It comes from within the house. Then you don't have to look outside for it. That's sometimes what they say about, you know, people who get a bit older and sort of lose their way.
So was that men and women?
Well, probably more, obviously, men. Older boys that move wayward probably need a father figure to keep them straight and narrow.
Yeah.
Older girls who probably move wayward, if they probably look for love in the wrong places because they didn't get the love from their father at home and stuff like that. So I do like the advice from that Uber driver. That's really
good. Love asking Uber drivers their advice.
They're wise. Some of them are wise beyond their years.
This one guy, I got in a car and I was like, oh, I love this game. Can I just guess where you're from? And I was like, oh, I'm going to make a few more guesses. I was like, I reckon you're from Somalia, you're married and you've got 6 kids. He was like, get out of the fucking car. I was like,
that's so specific.
No, but I just like, there was just a vibe about him. Anyway, and I asked him the question.
Six kids.
What
about him said 6 kids?
Well, he'd been in that Uber for like 24 hours that day, poor guy. Anyway. His advice was from 0 to 7 with kids, just make sure you play with them as much as possible. Loads of play. Just give them enough of that. And then 7 to 14 is all about education and learning and giving knowledge. And then 14 to 20, yeah, so it's like 3 sets of 3. 14 to 21 is about being their friend. And I was like, that's so cool as well.
Do you think you'd be a kid's friend?
Yeah. You need to be very careful with that.
Obviously, your children are 7 and 2, so obviously they're too young. Your 7-year-old's too young for that. But do you think you'd be a kid's friend?
I think you need to be very careful. I like to keep a little bit of like...
I am your friend.
A little bit of separation amongst that. But, I try and create a friendship with her, definitely, where she can talk and we can do imaginary play, and you know, that she can hang with me and have good times.
Be accessible.
Yeah.
You're
going to
be...
we're not friends.
You're
going
to be Nigerian with that.
It's still in me. No, I can't. Like, I like him. I want to be approachable. I want my son to, if he's in a situation, to be able to come to me and we can talk about it. But he's not going to be like coming and like calling me by my first name or anything wild. Like,
I've got my kids, I think, if they talk about certain things with their friends, that's not a shit about that. And that's not to keep in secrets from them.
It's just like, I
just understand you're 14 or whatever.
Talk
about certain things. I don't need to hear it.
Absolutely.
You should know that I'm your dad, and it's just like, it's not
been weird.
No, I don't have any Rizzler.
all went to school with that kid, right? It's just like, I was smoking cigarettes with my mum.
Yeah.
Smoke at home, smoking lip. It's like,
you're not.
What is
yeah,
this? That? Yeah.
It's a fine line,
that. Yeah, because it's that some people say that's abuse. You're no longer parenting and being the cool parent. You're abusing your child, but then it under the cloak of cigarette smoke.
That's how I used to get drunk when I was 14. My mate's mum used to buy us all drink.
What?
Yeah. Irresponsible.
So what happened is we'd go to, in the day of school, we'd know we'd go, it'd always be a Wednesday, I don't know why.
Happy hump day. Tell
me, you're 14, you just need to get on the drink. It's weird, so we'd give him £3, and then... At lunchtime, he'd give it to his mum, like, go back over at lunchtime, and then by the end of the day, we'd go to his house and pick up our £3 bottle of Lambrini. Then we'd go up to the woods, and we'd have a drink.
That's Essex 101. That is Essex.
And then we used to go at like, weekends, we would do similar things, like, when we was about, like, I think, a bit older, like 15. So, go to his house, there'd be drink there. She'd leave the house to him.
Wayward. Was his house to go to then?
But what it was, what I only realised in hindsight, and I'll try to tell the story really quickly. So I was at my barber's mid-20s, and he goes, I won't say the guy's name.
Yeah.
But let's call the guy
Rod.
Rod, okay. Good name. Mm. So I look at barber and he goes, because Rod's mum's a lesbian. And I was just like, no, she's not. And he goes, she's a lesbian. He goes, you used to hang out with me all the time. I did not know she was a lesbian. I go, no, she wasn't lesbian. And I go, what would happen is he would go around his house, she'd buy a drink, and then she'd go and hang out with her mate. I was like, oh, shit, yeah, she's lesbian. Because what it was his parents would split up. So in that time, and that's what it was. They'd split up. She had broken up the home by having an affair with a woman.
Oh.
And I guess she must feel so bad about
how
she's messed up her family that she just kind of acquiesced to anything her kids wanted. Well, so she's like, I want my friends round and buy us booze. And she was like, okay.
Interesting.
So us as 14-year-olds, didn't sense anything that our mate was going through, didn't give him any support.
Where's Lambrini?
We're getting drinks over and we're playing PlayStation. I said, where's your mum? Oh, she's at so-and-so's house. Okay. Yeah.
Wow. Just giving
him shit. Yeah.
So interesting. So she's just trying to appease him, but as long as he's happy, she'll do it, even if it meant literally breaking the law.
He used to do his own tattoos and piercings, so that would work.
Oh, he went.
But the thing is, I don't know him now, but I see him through Facebook.
Yeah.
He looks like he's really well balanced.
Oh, okay. So he came out of that room.
Yeah, I don't know what work he's done on himself, but
jeez.
He's like a top guy.
Wow. It's basically a left turn anywhere, can't it? And, being enabled alcohol, that could potentially have been a slippery slope.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course. Of course. And you start on that early as well. It's hard to get off it. Let's go to you got anything to reflect on Darren or any parenting fails you said?
I had one. Yeah, it was pretty funny. She's picking up a door from nursery. She's got
her. Does she go 5 days a week?
No, only 2 days a week.
2 days, okay.
Good. So I've gone to her room to pick her up, and it's always nice to pick her up. I don't usually get a chance to pick her up. I usually drop her off.
Yeah.
Wife picks her up. But it's really nice to pick her up because that's when I pop through the door. She takes ages to notice me. There's like, and then she just sprints. Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah, it's great. And then she's all hyperactive and stuff, and relieved and messing around in the corridor. So now we're away from all of the staff that know who I am. And then just as we walk out in front of the other staff, she goes, "Where's my dad?" I was just like, "What?" It's like, "Where's my dad?" And I was like, "You're so silly." And the member of staff and looked at me. I was like, "All right, she's like, let's go." What could I have said to make me sound like I really was a kidnapper? This child. Yeah. Like, I'm your dad. She would have gone, "No, you're not." She would have just said something silly like that. And I'll go like, "Oh, I don't know where your dad is."
But why did she do that?
Because she's actually a funny kid. She's got funny.
Oh, so you think she did that? To show? Oh, okay.
Yeah, she's just got.
She's weird. She's a comedian as well.
Yeah. Keep you on your toes.
Yeah, she has got like a really good like kind of comedic instinct.
Where's my dad? Oh my head's gone. I'll lose my head, you know.
Oh, yeah, I just made eye contact with someone. Yeah. I just left, just got rid of the car.
Did you feel a bit guilty? Were you like, I am their dad?
Yeah, I wanted to say something, it's just like, I just look like I'm kidnapped with this child.
Yeah, I would have been in my phone, look at this photo from 2021 and been like, it's her. Don't you see the same face?
Should the staff stop this?
But I'm sure they were like, ooh, like you have to have conviction to make an intervention. Yeah. They have to have enough conviction.
Yeah.
And I don't think in that split second was probably enough for them to be like,
yeah,
you're not, are you? They just want, like, yeah, that's it. That's it. See you on the news.
As long as you pay £120 a day, they don't give a fuck.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my goodness.
The money, honestly.
Oh yeah, yeah, it's crazy. I see it on Twitter. People be like, it's like $2,000 for 5 days a week full time. It's basically another mortgage, more than people's mortgage.
The nursery have just invited me to a Christmas event and they want us to pay to get in. £5. £5 to go. £3, yeah.
So you, that the school, the stuff that they event, like you, that happens when you're a school parent, they're basically inviting you now, but they're just charging you for the privilege.
Oh no, this is a nursery because yeah, nurseries, so the nursery, yeah, are the printing 20s, aren't they?
Jeez.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Does your 2-year-old go nursery?
She goes nursery 2 days a week. I kind of called that. Like, I was like, even if I haven't got a busy week, I just think it's really important. Let's just try and find the money. Just so there's some structure to the week. And socialising and also just for my well-being, all of that. But then some weeks she'll go 4 or 5 days if I'm working more. But it's kind of, it's a routine. And I think when you have a toddler, they definitely appreciate. Actually, I don't know if they do. I appreciate it. I think there's something good there, though, where everyone knows where they are for the week.
Yeah.
Even if at some months you can't afford it, you're like, why are we? This is actually really important for everyone's well-being in this house.
Yeah. I think having a framework is important if you can sort of get it. And I don't know, I need to start planning because my son's 13 months and we've discussed nursery, but we've not had a proper like sit down or look at it. But I definitely want to get him something. I've taken him to Stay and Play, which the council run, where it's like, you can take your kid for like 75 minutes, 90 minutes to go to a place and they just play. There's other mothers, there's other kids there. But he was too boisterous for the other kids because there's 0 to 1 or 1 to 4. They're like, oh, because he's not fully independently mobile, he has to go to the younger one. But they were literally like proper babies there, like probably 2 months old who were like coughing up their like milk and they're like lying there on their back like they can't do anything, they're just lying there and he's like crawling over to them or like toddling over to them. I'm like, not like leave them. And all the mums are all cool and relaxed and stuff, but I thought he's too mobile for them, so he probably needs to be in the older group. But yeah, I am considering.
I think with childcare, I think your gut says everything. Yeah. So make sure you go and see quite a few different nurseries and you really get a feeling in your heart and in your tummy about what, and you always listen to the little conversations that are going on amongst it of like nursery workers. Just try and like really get a 360 on it.
Yeah. Because
your gut says everything. And when you go against your gut, it's interesting things. Yeah.
Yeah, so, absolutely. I appreciate them little nuggets of wisdom.
I've got a parenting fail.
Hit us.
So we're potty training at the moment, yeah. Which, yeah, it's so fun. Are you doing that?
Yeah,
it's brilliant. It's brilliant. But we quite often like have to take the portable potty out. And the other day I forgot it. So Eliza is the little one in the buggy on the school run. And she goes, I need a poo. And it's like two roads away from our house. And I don't have the potty.
Is she wearing a nappy?
No, knickers. Okay.
You've got to let them know if you wet yourself, it feels wet and it's not good.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
If they've got a nappy on.
They won't feel it.
I had a wee wee. It's like, well, you need a wee wee. No, I've done it now. It's like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
And also, that's babies. You're in your nappy, you're a baby. You've got your big pants on.
Yeah.
You're a big girl.
Okay, so it's like a transition for them.
Yeah, and it's got like, you. Yeah.
Was your daughter interested in knickers before?
We went to Primark and I went, I mean, it was quite, I don't know if she was invested, but I was like, here are the packets of pants. Because this was advice given to me at the 2-year health check, actually. They said, go and buy pants together. And then she'll get into the idea that they're her big girl pants. But anyway, we're on this school run, and I do think that's a good piece of advice, actually.
Yeah.
Because then they're kind of like, oh, they're invested into those.
You take a bit of interest in it, yeah.
Into those £1.50 pants, and for 20. And anyway, so she was like, I need to go, and I was like, oh, I don't have this potty. So, like 7-year-olds there, I'm literally improvising. We're on a road.
Yeah.
So I pulled down her pants, had a Kleenex in my hand. Oh, and just like caught this poo.
Turd,
like,
yeah.
Like literally
turd.
My hand was like a waiter. Like,
just hovering.
Took a whip, got the whole lot. And then I walked with it, right? Human shit. I want to go on strike. There's so many people
so
striking
you had a hand.
Me.
No, let's get this image right. You hand had a hand full of turd. You got a 2-year-old in the pram.
Yeah.
And then
7-year-old there. So
what do you do with the poo when you put your 2-year-old back in the pram?
No, she has pulled her pants up. You can walk for the next bit. You can climb in there. I think Tabs probably helped me get her pants up. And I walked this shit. Can I swear on this?
Yeah. You can say whatever you like.
I mean, I just like, there's so many people striking out there. Do you know what I mean? I was like, I need to be striking. This is ridiculous. I'm carrying a human shit.
Yeah.
So then we walk two roads. Ding dong. My husband opens the door. Hello, everyone. How's your day been? And I literally am like, I am carrying a human head. This is just so basic. Of like, it was a fail though. It was like the guilt. I shouldn't have put her in that situation. I shouldn't be like walking around the street with like a poo in my hand.
Well, imagine if you saw someone you knew, like a neighbour.
Yeah, exactly.
Would you just shaking their hand? Hey, long time.
But it's just the kind of thing you have to do. You just have to get on with it.
Improvise, yeah.
I haven't had to carry the shit.
Ridiculous.
It's funny because in my head, I'm like, ask him because then we'll find somewhere discreet to do it. Mm. On the way to Kazaya's christening, literally walking down that hill, say there was like, I need a wee wee. And we had a portable potty, it was like, can you hold it? She's like, no, I'll do the wee-wee. It's like, we can't have her wet herself in a dress like.
So
we had to try to find the most discreet place on the path. So we could kind of like behind the van, and then she had to just sit there on the potty. And it's so funny because toddlers really don't give a shit. She was just like, on the potty, just like, I'm doing the wee-wee. I'm like, yeah. Trying to hurry up though, because we are in the
are you getting your coat out and covering, sort of doing all that type of stuff?
So I was having to do that while I'm holding the buggy because it's on such a hill.
Oh my goodness.
Because I'm like, how big is this potty? Like, is it like a little kind of like a rucksack size?
Okay.
I feel like the walk of shame with them. Do you know? They're just so badly designed. It's just like really obvious. Like, I'm a parent who's potty training. I've got a buzzy bee one. It's just.
Oh, okay. So it's.
Yeah, exactly.
So it screams out that it's a potty. It's not discreet by any stretch.
So it's not cool. It's not stylish. It's not like something like the baby bags, which were like cool compartments.
Yeah, yeah. It's not one of those.
Oh, snap. Oh, okay.
You're carrying the solid case of piss. And
that's what you're doing. How many like pisses can it take before you need to like empty out? Is it like a day use?
And to me, it depends, right? Because I've found this as well with the potty trainings. You become a bit weirdo, right?
Like, elaborate.
She wins. I'm like, well, that's a lot of wee. Well, that's not a lot of wee. Or when she poos, because now I can see it's not in a nap. I'm like,
yeah,
wow, that's massive.
So you're drinking enough. Yeah, you need to drink more.
Yeah, and then it's that typical parent chat of going, oh, like, yeah, a poo is really hard. Yeah, it's a hard poo.
Weights and measures.
And it's like, oh, no, it's a very soft poo. And it just, that's what you're talking about.
That's Bristol school chart.
Whole conversation. And I was thinking the other day, this yesterday, like, she pooed. And I was assessing the poo and looking at her, and looking at the poo, I was like, that poo is like half the size of her knee.
Mm.
And I'm thinking, if I pooed something half the size of my knee,
you'll be worried.
I'll go to hospital. Yeah, and it's just like,
wow.
Coke
that
can.
Is like, we could set up an Instagram account with that kind of content. It was wild.
Third content.
Coke can. Because such a small person.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, yeah, yeah. How are you moving around? With that inside you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then. It's nasty.
But it is a lot. I think these are quite. 2 to 3 years old, it is a lot of handling and wrangling poo and wee, and isn't it? Actually, and newborn, up to 3.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, like, my boy has been constipated recently, and then we've been, like, when he's strange, you can, like, see it in his face, and he's, like, really upset and stuff like that. So I want him to push it out, but then sometimes I've been, like, just do a bit of manual evac and stuff, and it's just, like, just you can see it come out, so you're like, you just break off and stuff like that. And then it just...
Is that because you're a doctor?
Yeah, it doesn't mean anything to me.
Manual evacuation.
No, when I say manual, I'm not going up. Like, it's stuff that he's kind of pushed out. And I'm just like, oh, pop. Like, the perineum, the soft part between your anus and your penis is soft. So you just push and then it just pops out.
Fantastic.
So I was just like...
That's satisfying.
I was just like, soft bit.
Now I know that, I still won't do that.
So Eliza's constipated, and I'll just see her in the corner, like, and I'll be like, where do you go to the toilet? She goes, the corner, because she just doesn't like, she wants to just shit standing up, like, there's the corner. No, where do you go to the toilet? The garden. And she, like,
the whole of
September, August to October, we just like find. Who's in the garden?
Oh, she really just being
a, yeah, she'd just cat. Go really carnal and like...
Oh my God, do you have a dog or anything like that?
No, we have a cat, but she just like would... I think she just found it at ease in the fresh air.
Oh, therapeutic.
But what have you been doing for the constipation?
He just had a bit of lactulose, so...
Did that help?
It's helped soften it up a bit, and we probably just need to improve. I thought his diet was all right, but clearly we need to improve it a bit more if he's getting constipated.
So would you say more fiber?
Yeah, just more water, more fluids, more fiber. He had semi-skim milk, but apparently we should be giving him more full fat, so we can move into full fat as well. And stuff
we're all like fiber deficient, I've heard.
We probably don't eat enough.
Yeah.
Get more of a fiber day. And obviously we eat a lot of, I'd say we, obviously standard processed food doesn't help and whatnot. You know, all these biscuits and other stuff that we like to enjoy. The stuff that we like to enjoy tends to be the processed stuff. But hey ho, huh? That's the problem. And they know that, and they put all these preservatives in it. But I wanted to ask a few special questions to yourself, Kelly. If you don't mind, when did you first go into comedy? When did you start?
So it was like about eight years ago.
So just your daughter
just before I got pregnant. With Tabitha.
Yeah.
And over those 8 years, like I had two children.
Absolutely.
We had the old Lockie D.
Absolutely.
And then I got really sick one year. I got like loads of autoimmune things. I got an insect bite on my leg that almost lost my leg.
Oh my goodness.
Just, it was just a major, it was a
definitely demanding, busy year.
Yeah, so it was like one of those ones where the health became sort of top priority. So then since Eliza, who was born in 2021, I really feel I've like put my blinkers on at that point. Like, actually, I'm really going to focus with this comedy thing and get better. I just want to get better. Yeah. And that's it really, isn't it? You just like, and then I'm like, oh, I'm getting a bit better. And then you go into another room, you're like, oh no, I've still got quite a lot
Everyone's still learning.
Don't use your progressing,
right? Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, because you're always meant to go to, you were meant to go to another room and be like, oh, I thought I was.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
So it's like there's levels to this.
Levels to it. You're always improving. Yeah. Different rooms, different styles.
We were talking about the other week, weren't we? About when you go to a gig and you just got that vet who's been doing it for like 25 years, famous, but their circuit just
absolutely
pop. And they'll just rock up to a gig like 5 minutes before. Like, how are they? they're okay, cool. And then they'll pop their head around the corner and they know everyone. They're like, oh, you right, Shirley, how are you doing? Yeah. I'm just squatting. It's like, can I have a drink? Yeah, can I wouldn't mind some to me, actually. Would I be ready when I come off? All right, fair. And then it's like, oh, do what? I probably should get ready. And it's like, well, to the stage. So they go on and they just destroy
it. Yeah, the shut the place like, down.
Oh, I thought I did really well.
Yeah.
I wanted, but, oh, they weren't laughing like that, were they?
No. Yeah, they laughed it differently.
Yeah.
They're applauding them.
they're giving it that. Literally, like, snotting out their nose.
Yeah.
I don't think any jokes, and they just come to stage and be like, yeah, no, it's all right, wasn't it? It's all, and it's nothing. So it's like, oh, thanks, there's my drink. Cheers. It's
all like, in a day's work.
Brilliant. Yeah, it's good. Good to be around people like that.
Yeah, because then you think, oh, there's that much more to go towards. Because you see this, I remember when I first started, you could be like an open mic night and you see someone headline. They're doing 10 minutes.
Yes, the pinnacle. 10 minutes. The peak.
and you're there with your mates because they're used to bring up.
Absolutely. At all your friends.
And this guy's come and he's destroyed it for 10 minutes. Just,
yeah.
They give you some advice and you're just like, listen to this person.
Yeah, they know what they're doing. They're big in the game. Yeah.
And then 2 years later, you see they're still headlining that thing.
Absolutely.
And they're just like, wait, I let this guy redirect where I was
going.
Oh, absolutely.
It's like, why was I listening to this person?
How long have you been doing?
2016 for me.
2016?
Yeah. So, yeah. 6 years, 6 and 8 years.
Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah, so it's been fun.
The reason I ask, because obviously you did it at the time when you sort of having sort of children. Mm. Has that been difficult to sort of balance, as particularly more as a mother compared to a father? Because I think I don't sit here and think, whilst this changes to my career because of my child, I don't think it's going to hamper it severely. But I just wondered, as a mother, one, do you kind of feel as a primary caregiver? And two, do you feel that your career has been sort of hampered by sort of having children or anything like that?
No, I think my career at points been hampered of me overdoing things, like doing too many things.
Mm-hmm.
Like you, like in your little intro, which was lovely. You know, I've been multi-hyphen for a very long time. And I think of the last 2 years, I've kind of really narrowed my focus, which I think has enabled me to progress in comedy, because I'm not like, you know, boshing out a podcast with Mac or Cosmetics or, you know, I'm just overdoing it or producing. Or I, there was only so many hours in a day. And I think my health thing that happened was me saying, whoa, you're maxing it. You're overdoing it. And it did, and I kind of just had to stop. So I think never at any point as being a mother stopped me. Just my overambition, I think, has kind of at points made me stop. But I think being a mother, being any caregiver, parent, if you're tired, you're not funny. That's a fact. I've gone out knackered, like the night before, you know, baby's awake all night. and Caitlin Moran says, give any parent or mother the benefit of the doubt if they're raising a child who's under the age of three, because you're tired. You're always on a kind of ebb of tiredness.
Absolutely.
So to then go out and then like perform to 270 people up the creek on a Friday night, and you're on stage at 10:15, and you're like,
yeah.
I was doing Weetabix at 6 a.m. Like, yeah, that is a long shift.
It's a long old day.
I've done school pickup. I've like celebrated the Stone Age weaving. I've like maybe, you know, in that day done 15 loads of washing, a self tape, tried to make lunch for my husband, trying to do things, you know. Remember stuff, the overwhelm of life. I mean, that sounds ridiculous.
Like, no, it's the mental load.
It's the mental load. And I think actually to do comedy sometimes amongst all of that.
Yeah.
It's like, it's the always at the end of the day as well.
So, yeah. It's so very, very late.
Now, like, I get a little secret nap in, or I do a 20-minute meditation just to kind of get my head back into the space of, actually, yeah, you're gonna go and do this now.
Yeah.
But you know, you have to find energy.
Of course.
So yeah, that's sometimes my challenge. But never being a mother, I mean, I've chosen this wonderful life. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And
yeah, I like that phrase of it, to be fair. I like that decision. It's not actually being a mom, it's doing lots of different things is the issue.
The context switching is like,
well, I didn't like doing like a self tape and then.
Well, you might get up, you're doing the Weetabix, then you're writing a quick email.
Yeah.
Like you've got to reply to someone, and then your husband comes and goes, the car's broken down, you know, because it's all logistics chat when you're raising young kids, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
The cat needs worming, the boiler's broken, you know, it's like.
Yeah.
Constant, all of that. And then you might have 15 hours worth of a day, and then you're going on stage.
Yeah.
Mm. Is your husband, does he work from home or does he work out the house?
He predominantly works from home. He's a computer programmer. And he's just been 100% behind me. He's like in my front row clapping. And I'm really lucky. And he's really fit. I've done well.
You've lucked out.
He is ridiculous. He's a year on year. He's like a fine camembert. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm feeling quite grateful. Well done. We just did 10 months of marriage counselling, actually. Sorry, Pete. And when you're raising young kids, actually, because of that logistic chat and you're not like you're getting snippets of conversation where you're not like taking the time. So we did this, we invested, and it was amazing. And actually, on the back of that, marriage has just been a really good, healthy place.
Absolutely.
I'd really recommend it to anyone.
I think that's the thing. You become parents and you forget at one point you guys were dating.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't just logistical chat or we got to do this, got that. There was like love. You'll spend time voluntary because you wanted to, because you enjoyed it. And then a child comes into the situation and the whole dynamic has changed. And the relationship you once had is gone.
Because me and my we were just about home. Once he starts sleeping better, my son's the youngest one, it's like, God, Ethan is back. And he starts, he sleeps at the first chunk of the day. And it's funny, our evenings consist of either me weighing up whether we're going to finish doing the house stuff first, then knowing that we're just not going to talk to each other, we're both going to fall asleep.
Yeah.
Or try to watch something together, but then knowing that there's a sink for the washing that needs to be done. And then invariably falling asleep on watching something.
Yeah.
So I've probably been gigging all week. So you've been out so much this week. So it's like, all right, next week I'm not gigging that much. And then when I'm in, it's like we don't actually do anything with each other. We're both just shattered. Life and stuff. And it's just like, this is our intimacy. You sit next to each other on the sofa and fall asleep. Or after you put it to bed, she'll go to bed, not to sleep, but to watch something on the phone.
Yeah,
she wants me to sit with her, and by the time if I take anything over 45 minutes to get upstairs,
she's conked. Yeah. So you don't get this quality sort of. And that's probably if your foundations aren't strong enough, that's where problems will come. Clearly, I don't think that's your situation, but I just think like if people's foundations aren't strong enough, that will be enough because it's like. Obviously everyone's got their desires and wants and physical touch and stuff like that, but it's like, we're not doing what we used to do. And that's a problem for some couples, and that's where problems arise and stuff like
also,
that.
Also, I think, like, it is important to be intimate. However, just make the effort. However, it's like going to the gym. If you, you never regret it, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And even if it's like a quick shifty, whatever you need to do, but just to get
out of the system.
Just the engagement, a little bit. Because like, if everyone's happy on that level, it's amazing the energy changes in the house.
Yeah.
I think, like, not to be sort of sordid, but I just think actually in a foundation of marriage, that is really important. Because actually,
yeah, you want to feel loved, you want to feel sexy, you want to feel. You've got an housemate, yeah. Don't you? 100%.
Yeah.
Then, yeah.
You're just the project team. Just,
yeah, project.
You're just the project team. Kids, the house, just like, yeah.
Jobs.
Yeah, you just sit down and just itemize things that need to be done.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It needs to be more than
my house.
I did see one of your jokes you posted online, and I thought that is what marriage is.
Yeah.
You posted online, so I guess I can't say it. Marriage is about 50% shouted through your floorboards, going what? Mm. What? And
Yeah.
That is real. That is what marriage is.
Yeah.
Chatting shit between the floorboards.
Yeah, I guess if you don't have those kind of those intimate moments, I remember getting this advice from someone I used to work with actually. They said always continue to date. And I was like, whatever. We didn't have kids.
Yeah.
We haven't actually gone out that often, so I would call my mom or my sister, can you just watch the kids for an evening?
Yeah,
nice.
And it can be just something like, it's really just the fact that you're just adults.
Yeah, absolutely.
The first one we went on was literally went to the cinema and we were trying to get something to eat. And we were just like, not really that hungry, so what should we do? We ended up going like mini golf.
Oh, that's
so
nice.
That's nice.
Just like, yeah, it was just the fact that we didn't really chat that much. It was just messing around. Yeah.
Enjoying each other's company.
Yeah.
Having a laugh.
Yeah, and just being able to put your drink there and know that you can just pick it back up and drink it.
It's not going to be knocked over or anything like that.
But it was this weird thing of going, you kind of have this kind of phantom child.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You chat away, but
it's also really important not to talk about your kids when you're dating.
Yeah,
if you're out with date night, just
absolutely.
Going, oh, wasn't it? You know, it's very easy just to.
No, it's very, very true. It's very, very true. Remember that there's a reason why you guys got together, and sometimes you need to refresh that in the relationship because you two are in a marriage first. There are kids, but you're husband and wife first.
Yeah.
So let's end on that positive note. That's been an episode of Late Nights and Wet Wives. I've been Mike Wakadiri. To the left has been
Darren Griffiths.
And our very, very special guest,
Kelly Ford. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a great week and good night, people. Peace.
Thank you. Aww, thanks, guys.